The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
You can be seated if you would. So great to hear everybody singing today. Happy New Year. Allow me to add my Happy New Year to Brandon's Happy New Year. Did you say Happy New Year to the people?
Don't know.
Say it right now.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year. Yes, Happy New Year to all of you. If you're a guest with us today, thanks so much for being here. In a seat either right in front of you or down from you is a guest card that looks a little something like this. We would love for you to fill that out at the end of the service today. We're going to receive an offering and some baskets will be passed, but all that we ask that you put in the basket is that guest card. And we just want to send you an email and thank you for being our guest today and worshiping with us. My name is Jason. I'm one of the teaching pastors and elders here at Summit. Have the opportunity to be here at Summit Malden most of the time. And so we're thrilled that you're hanging out with us. And if you're a regular, well, it is fantastic to see you as well. I know some folks are still traveling from the holidays, coming back in. School starts back tomorrow for a lot of people. Already started back for my two girls and my wife, who's a teacher. They already had to go back. But I know a lot of schools are starting back tomorrow. Those of you that traveled throughout the course of the holidays, I hope it was a safe traveling time for you. How many of you traveled somewhere via car? Show of hands. Yes. How many of you spent any of your time in a traffic jam out there somewhere? Go ahead. I'm so sorry. That's the reason I don't do it. I don't do it anymore. Can't stand them. So glad that you're back here safely. I had my first ever officially old person Christmas. Like, it finally happened. I didn't know when it happened. I just turned 43. And then I had my first old person Christmas. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by older person Christmas. I mean, and some of you, Christmas Eve, you already heard this part of it. I received from my mom a package of handkerchiefs as a present. Yeah, I think that means you're getting older. Now, she said it's because I'm crying a lot more when I teach the Bible. That's what she says. You're getting more emotional in your old age. And then on Christmas morning, for my sweet wife, I opened up a new pair of reading glasses. And so that's it, right? Like, if you're getting reading glasses and hankies for Christmas, like, it's happened, like, it's official that I'm an older person. Anybody else get reading glasses for Christmas? Can we? Anybody? Am I the only one? Thank you. You did? You got two pair? Right. And that's what else I realized. I already had a perfectly fine pair, but I misplaced them now. So that's also a sign that maybe I'm getting. By the way, yours are on your head if you don't know right now. Because that's been happening to me too lately. Where are they? Oh, they're right. They're right there. I hope that you had a fantastic end to 2018 and a good start to 2019. Congratulations. Some of you, your New Year's resolution was to be in a church worship service every Sunday in 2019. So you're one for one. Congratulations. You've done that. 51 more to go. I don't know if that was one of yours or not. Totally fine. Had a great time with my family. Had the opportunity to teach last week at Fellowship Greenville, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I hadn't been back there in a while, and so to be able to go back and see so many friends and encouraging folks, I really enjoyed that. Now, words out on the street that I sang a song, and this is true. I sang last week while I was there. And Matt Rexford and I, now Matt Rexford is the worship pastor there, and him and I have been bosom buddies since middle school. And so we sang a little song together. Now, if you really want to listen to it, I think it's out there in the YouTube world, Fellowship Greenville's page or whatever the case may be, if you want to be able to listen to us sing a little bit. It was a fantastic opportunity to go back and see some friends and family. Really enjoyed it. If you're new with us at Summit, maybe you haven't been around for a while, each year, so this is not abnormal what I'm getting ready to do today, each year when the new year kicks off, I usually take the very first Sunday and let you know what I'm praying for you and what I'm praying for me in the new year. As a matter of fact, at all of our congregations today, all of our campuses that we have around the upstate, if you're newer with us, we have five of those easily, Spartanburg, Greer, Malden-Simpsonville, Cherrydale area as well. Each of the campus pastors are just taking some time and sharing what they're praying over their congregation in the new year. Which actually for us ties in well with this new series that we are also kicking off called In the Way of Grace. Here's what I'm praying for you. I want to let you know what I'm praying for you, what I'm also praying for myself in 2019. That you would intentionally continue to, or maybe for the first time, put yourself in the way of grace. And from that place, extend grace to those that you come in contact with. So if I could, I want to explain that just a little bit to you. I want to start with this word intentionally, this idea of intentionally continuing to, or maybe for the first time, putting yourself in the way of grace. Now, intentionally means deliberately. It means on purpose. It means willfully. It's a word I think that you hear a good bit this time of year, every year, with New Year's. And I know everybody has different ideas about New Year's resolutions and those sorts of things, and everyone's, whatever, your opinions are great. I like actually doing this, a little crowd participation. How many of you would say, I'm a New Year's resolution type person? I like putting some goals out there for myself. Show of hands, who are those types of people? Yes, sure. Absolutely. How many of you could care less? This is not what you do. You do not set any goals because you have disappointed yourself for a long time. Okay, good. That's a joke. Now, how many of you go, I'll make the goals, but then in 2 weeks, I will not care about the goals that I set. Anybody like that? Okay, good. There's a lot of us as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to check and see. My hope and my prayer for you and for me is that we would continue to grow in our walk with the Lord. Now, I believe that that takes intentionality. So all of us have to say yes to certain things and say no to certain things if we want to be intentional, right? Especially when it comes to the most important things. Because here's something that's not unique to you. The temptation of letting the urgent crowd out the important. Yeah? I don't know if anybody else has ever struggled with that. My guess is you have, I have, we all have at times. We're all really busy. We all have things. We're all really swamped, right? I think sometimes we buy into this idea that we're busier than everybody else. I get into that conversation with people sometimes, especially when it comes to things that they should be intentional with and about. And they go, well, I just got this and this. Yeah, yeah. Well, everybody's got stuff. It's very rare that people are sitting around with nothing going on, yeah? We all have things. So what happens without a sense of intentionality, without a sense of purpose, without a sense of prioritizing, the immediate need of the day, the immediate need of the moment can push the important things to the back of the line. We've all lived that at times. We've all experienced that at times. So what I'm praying for you and for me is that we would intentionally put ourselves in the way of grace, that we would value it to the degree that it continues to become the priority that is most important to us. And as I've stated, for some of you, that you would continue to do that, because I believe for a lot of you in the room, that's the deal for you. You have prioritized being in the way of grace. Others of you in the room, maybe for the first time, 2019, you'd be able to look back and go, 2019 was the year when I began to be more intentional about putting myself in the way of grace. Now, when I say grace, I'm talking about the kindness shown to us by God through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Some would say that grace, a popular definition, is God's unmerited favor towards us through Jesus. I heard Tim Keller, who's a pastor in New York City, once say this about grace. He said, grace is good done to someone who deserves the opposite of the goodness done to them, and it is costly to the giver, and it is shocking to the observer, and it is traumatic to the receiver. Like, I love that definition. It's always stuck with me because as I have put myself in the way of God's grace towards me in and through Jesus Christ, that's definitely been my story. And I think for a lot of you in the room, you would say the same. You know, a passage of the Bible that often gets talked about a lot around Christmas time, we're just coming out of the Christmas season, is John 1. And John 1 says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, full of grace and full of truth. And from his fullness we have all received" what? "Grace upon grace." Grace came through Jesus Christ. One author said it this way, grace has a face. It's Jesus. And my prayer for you and my prayer for me in this new year, my prayer for you and prayer for me in 2019 is that we would intentionally continue to, or maybe for the first time, put ourselves in the way of grace. I was recently reading about a couple of guys that did that in Scripture, and what I'm praying that we would continue to do in 2019. If you have your Bibles, I would love for you to open them up to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 18 is where we're going to be. And we're going to read about two men that put themselves in the way to grace, in the way of grace, so to speak. And it radically changed everything for them. Luke 18, I'm going to start reading in verse 35. Luke 18, 35. Okay. This is what it says. "As he," Jesus, "drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And so he cried out, verse 38 says, and he cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, let me recover my sight. Verse 42 says, and Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Now here, we'll stop right there for just a second. Here you read about a man that put himself in the way of grace. He's a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. Now, the Gospel of Luke here, it doesn't tell us that his name is Bartimaeus, but you can also read this story in the Gospel of Matthew, and you can also read this story in the Gospel of Mark. And Mark tells us that his name was Bartimaeus. Matthew actually tells us that he had another buddy with him who was also blind. So Luke says that Bartimaeus is by the road begging. Now, this would not be an uncommon place. Back in Bible times, this would not be an uncommon place for a blind person to be, and it would not be an uncommon thing for blind people to be doing, which is begging. And all of a sudden, there is some commotion, and the crowd around Bartimaeus there begins to grow. And he can hear that people are walking by, yeah? And so, what does he say? Hey, what's going on? Right? That'd be a common sense thing for a blind person to say if they're sitting by the road and then a lot of commotion starts going on around them, right? Hey, what's going on? Because he can't see. And people around him tell him, look back at verse 37. What do they say? They say, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. That's what he's told. And then, very interesting, look at what he does. He screams out in the midst of the crowd, verse 38. What does he scream? Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, Jason, why are you screaming? There's an exclamation point there. I just wanted to add it, right? It's right there. Because there's a lot of people, so sure, he's screaming it, right? Let's say it like it would have been happening. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, that's an interesting phrase, Jesus, son of David. It's not the first time it's been used, but not many people referred to Jesus as the son of David. The phrase was a reference to the Messiah from the line of David, talked about, obviously, in the Old Testament. And it's interesting because you can read in your scriptures about a couple of other blind men that had been healed by Jesus. And you know what's interesting? They got Jesus' attention by screaming the exact same thing. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us. Because you see, in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah had said that the eyes of the blind would what? When the Messiah came, what would happen? That the eyes of the blind would see. That the eyes of the blind would be opened. And now you can fast forward to the days of Jesus walking the planet, and there are people who are putting themselves in the way of grace because grace has a face and his name is Jesus. And here's what I think. I believe that word was out about Jesus. Yeah? You can see that as people continue to come around, they gather around him. He's doing all kinds of things. Word was out about Jesus, but I want to guess that word was really out about Jesus in the blind community. Because blind people that could now see had to be talking about the fact that they could now see. Who would they be telling that to? They'd be telling that to the other blind people. There's a guy. He's here. It's Jesus, the son of David. Blind people were receiving their sight. And it's no doubt that the blind people who were receiving their sight were letting other people know. So if you're blind and grace comes by on the street, what do you do if you can't see? You scream at the top of your lungs, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd does what? Well, you can read right here. They help him up. They scream with him on his behalf to get Jesus' attention. No. What do they say? Be quiet. So what does Bartimaeus do in verse 39? He cries out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, you want to talk about being intentional about putting yourself in the way of Jesus. This guy gets it. And lo and behold, Jesus stops, because of course he does. And he asks him a real simple question. What do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, I want to see. In verse 42, Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and he followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, they also gave praise to God. What's grace? Good done to someone who deserves the opposite of the goodness being done to them. And it is costly to the giver, the one who is giving the grace. It's shocking to the observer, the people that are watching the grace be given. And it's traumatic to the receiver of the grace because they know the opposite of that they should be getting of the goodness that they're getting. Have you, as a follower, have you put yourself in the way of grace? Even if you're a follower of Jesus, do you continue to daily put yourself in the way of grace? Maybe I could say it this way. The gospel is beautiful to you and to me to the degree that you and I see our need for grace. There's a direct correlation to the beauty of the gospel to you and to me in regards to what we see that we actually need. That's the reason if you spend your entire life trying to convince yourself that you're not that bad of a person. I'll say this lovingly to you. The gospel won't be as beautiful to you. If you spend your entire life comparing yourself to everybody else, convincing yourself that you're a little bit better than them, and here's all the reasons why, then what's offered to you in and through Jesus Christ will not be overwhelmingly beautiful to you. The gospel is beautiful to you to the degree that you see your need for grace. As we continue to put ourselves in the way of grace, what we continue to find and see is that Jesus is actually what we need, what we've always needed. And listen, I've said it, I'll say it again. I think there are many here today who have put themselves in the way of grace. They desire to continue to put themselves in the way of grace because of what they've experienced in and through Jesus Christ. And then I want to say this. I think there are some here with us today that you aren't sure. You aren't sure about God. You're not sure about Jesus. You're not sure what you observed those around you talking about, singing about, giving their lives to. And here's what I would say to you today. If that's you, I want you to hear me say this. And maybe we don't know each other that well. Maybe we do know each other that well. That's okay. Like if you've got questions, doubts, fears, frustrations, hang-ups, whatever the case may be, like that's not offensive to anybody around here. I'm not offended by that. I'm not bothered by it. But I would say this to you. I would like to extend to you the same invitation with the doubts, with the fears, with the questions, with the I'm not so sure. Would you be open to in 2019 putting yourself in the way of grace? Keep reading with me. Let's go into Luke 19. There's this other fellow who I think was just curious. He put himself in the way of grace, and of course, Jesus was kind enough to say hello. So we'll keep rolling right into Luke 19. So he, Jesus, entered Jericho. And he was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. That simply means that in the taxation world, he's at the top of the collection pyramid, yeah? And it says here that he was rich. Now, he was really rich, and a lot of people would say that he had not come by that wealth honestly with his job, that he wasn't a man of integrity. Verse 3 says, this is an interesting verse to me, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Stop right there. You see it? This is a guy that simply wanted to see about this Jesus. Now, that may be you. It definitely could be people that you're doing life with. They're just interested. They got doubts. They got frustrations. They got aggravations from their past. They're wounded. They've been hurt. Not sure what they think. Interested maybe in just checking it out, to which I would say it's okay to check it out. Because this is what it says in verse 3. But on account of the crowd, he couldn't see because he was small in stature. And so he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Jesus was. So here's what we know. He's a smaller guy. Evidently, he's pretty resourceful, Zacchaeus is. And he's also evidently a pretty good climber. That's what we know about him, right? Little guy, good climber. And he climbs up in the tree to do what? Simply to see Jesus walk by. That's it. Not even realizing, maybe, that he's putting himself in the way of grace. doesn't fully understand or comprehend how this is all going to play out. I want to see what this Jesus thing is about. Crowds again are everywhere. I can't see. Blind Bartimaeus says, what's going on? Jesus is walking by, gets his attention. Zacchaeus sees the commotion. He can't see, so he climbs up in a tree. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and he came down and he received him joyfully. How great is this, right? Zacchaeus had hurried ahead. He'd climbed the tree just to see, just to take a look, just to catch a glimpse, to see what all the buzz, all the hubbub was about. And Jesus stopped, because of course he did. Just like with the blind man in chapter 18, Jesus stopped. Because as you put yourself in the way of grace, Jesus stops. And Zacchaeus thought what would just be an observation of what was going on from a sycamore tree becomes a house visit with the Son of God. Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm gonna go to your house. Verse 7 says, and when they saw it, they all celebrated and rejoiced. Nope, there it is again. They all grumbled. He's gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. When you see your need for grace, the invitation from Jesus is quite beautiful. If you don't see your need for grace, I love that these descriptors are all put in here for us. I mean, Zacchaeus, it wasn't just that Jesus came over and hung out with him. What we're able to read is that as Zacchaeus put himself in the way of grace, as he interacted with Jesus, he was what? Radically changed. Why? Because that's what happens. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'm going to restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him in verse 9, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Like, this is an incredible story of a man who just wanted to see. He just wanted to check it out. He was just going to put himself in the way of grace. And his life changed forever. Not just in that moment, but for the trajectory, right? Because we can see as the gospel begins to shape us, so what did he begin to do? The wealth that he had, he begins to give it away. Why? Because grace is good done to someone who deserves the opposite. And it's shocking. It's very costly to the one who's giving the grace. It is shocking to those that are observing it. And it is traumatic to the person who is receiving it. Now, I've walked with Jesus for a while now, and I'm thankful for that, but my prayer for me hasn't changed. So just FYI, that's what I'm praying for you too, is that I would intentionally continue to put myself in the way of grace, and from that place be able to extend grace to other people. What does it look like for you and I in 2019 to intentionally put ourselves in the way of grace? What is that? I'm going to go back to this word. What does that look like intentionally? Are there some spiritual disciplines that we can grow in? Yeah. Are we going to talk about those over the... Yeah, I'm going to actually talk about them in just a second, just kind of a little bit of an overview, but I don't want to get into those things without first coming back to this idea of being intentional. This idea of prioritizing. This idea of, listen, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of urgent things. But without a sense of intentionality, the urgent things will push the important things, the most important things, to the back of the line. And I don't know you. I don't know your story. I don't know those of you who make goals, what that looks like at the end of the year. I don't know why so many of you raise your hands on why you don't do that anymore. I made a little bit of a deal. There's lots of reasons for all of us in regards to that. But without a sense of intentionality, we can jot things down, we can write things, we can step into an accountability group and say, here's what I'm thinking. If you sit down and have a conversation, I think with anybody that you respect spiritually, you respect their walk with the Lord, and you say, tell me about this. Tell me about how you grew in your walk with the Lord. I think a piece of what you will hear them articulate to you is that throughout life they grew in intentionality. I don't know if they give you a secret thing. For some of you, maybe that's your whole life. Your whole spiritual journey has been trying to find this, from your perspective, three-step formula. Jonathan Edwards says it this way. I think it's a really great way to say it. Jonathan Edwards said this. You can endeavor to promote spiritual appetites by laying yourself in the way of allurement. You can endeavor to promote spiritual appetites by laying yourself in the way of allurement. What does it intentionally look like for us to continue to put ourselves in the way of grace? It's not a formula, it's a relationship. It's not step one, two, three. It's being captivated by what it is that the God of the universe has done for you and for me through Jesus Christ. Over our next few weeks together, we're going to talk about three things in particular. We're going to talk about the Word, the beauty of the Word. This idea that we've talked about since Summit began, that we must be a people who regularly hear from the Spirit of God through the Word of God for ourselves. For us in 2019, putting ourselves in the way of grace, a piece of that for sure happens as we regularly interact with God's Word given to us, that we may continue to know and live in the reality of His grace. From that, other things flow. That's my prayer for myself. That's my prayer for you. So we'd put ourselves in the way of grace, that we would put ourselves in the way of allurement, that we would continually be captivated by the kindness of God to us in and through Jesus Christ as we read and study and meditate and ponder and contemplate His words to us. That we would go see for ourselves, yeah? Because that's the deal with Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus. I don't know if you picked up on it as you read through there, but for both of those guys, the deal was they went for themselves to interact with Jesus, right? There was intentionality on both of their parts. What did Bartimaeus not say? Hey, what's all the commotion about? Jesus is walking by. Really? Oh, well, wish I could see. Be glad when all of y'all get out of here. Zacchaeus, what's going on out there? It's Jesus. Too bad I'm short. The Lord would have just made me a little bit taller. Maybe I could have interacted with him. No. Went for himself. And you guys know, those of you that have been with, some of you are newer with us, some of you have been with us for a while, you know that our greatest heartbeat around Summit Church is this, is that you and I, that we would be a people who hear from the Spirit of God through the Word of God for ourselves. Absolutely done within the context of community. We're going to take a few weeks out, though. We're not just going to talk about the Word. We're also going to talk about prayer. This is another, you can use whatever word you want to use, spiritual discipline, habit, but this is another area of intentionality, because not only do we have access to hear from God through His Word to us, we can speak and talk to the God of the universe and get a load of this. He hears us. Side note, not have to hear from us, desires to hear from us. You get that, right? Like when you go to the Lord in prayer, never once has it been, oh man, there's Jason again. Good grief. Never once. Now, that's hard for us because we all have relationships with people, even people that we love and that we're very close to, where that's our attitude towards them when they talk. Oh man, here we go again. So it's hard not to project that upon the God of the universe, but I'm letting you know you should not project that upon the God of the universe because that is not his attitude towards you or towards me. He wants us to pray. He invites us to pray. We're taught how to pray. Jesus had a ton to say about prayer. And this invitation to talk. And then we're going to take a couple more weeks and we're going to talk about belonging. Belonging within the context of community. I mean, part, we would say, of putting ourselves in the way of grace includes truly investing in others and being invested in by others. This idea that we weren't made to do this life by ourselves. But in a culture where it's easy to show up and sit and listen and call that church life, what does it mean to belong? And how does truly belonging lead me to experience the grace of God in my life? And, this was back to my original statement, to extend the grace of God to other people. As you and I are intentional about putting ourselves in the way of grace, the beauty of how God works then is he brings people along our path and we become a people who have the opportunity to extend grace. You get that right? I was thinking about this in my office earlier this morning. Before the foundation of the world, the God of the universe knew that your life would play out on the canvas of human history in 2019. Do you know that? He's given you another year. I don't know how long in the year you got. Not to be morbid or anything. I don't know how long in the year you got. But he's given you today, he's given you 2019, and before the foundation of the world, he knew that your story of grace would play out on the canvas of human history. Your snippet, your little dash, right? When you're buried, there's going to be a date where it began, there's going to be a date where it ended, as far as this part, and in between is that's it. And he was so kind and he was so gracious that in that dash of you walking this planet, get a load of this, over 7 billion people walk this planet, and out of those 7 billion people, the God of the universe said, I'd like a relationship with you. Come on. And I'm going to change you and I'm going to transform you and you're going to be sanctified and stuff. You aren't who you were. Stuff's going to be going on. And then you're going to live your life with a sense of intentionality and there's going to be people who I bring along your path. And that's going to be a part of them being in the way of grace, because you're intentional with the grace that has been bestowed upon you. Goodness done to you, someone who deserves the opposite of the goodness done to you. You deserve, I get it. You deserve the opposite. I deserve the opposite. And it was costly to the one who gave it. And it is shocking to those who knew us before we met Jesus. And it's traumatic to us. Not a paralyzing traumatic. A life-changing, life-altering traumatic. Because we know that we deserve the opposite of the goodness given to us in Jesus Christ. Would you join me, because I'm talking to myself, in putting ourselves intentionally in the way of grace through the word, through prayer, through belonging to biblical community in 2019. Pray with me if you would. The team's going to come up and we're going to sing another song or two together to close our time today, but just there in the quietness of your seat, in the quietness of this moment, I want to invite you to process through, one, just the kindness of God to you through Jesus. But maybe I know we're just getting started in the series, but just maybe from where you sit today, whether it be the word or whether it be prayer or whether it be truly belonging more than showing up and sitting in a row a couple of times a month. What is it that the Spirit of God would be saying to you as a new year begins about you intentionally putting yourself in the way of grace? Continuing to experience His goodness and His kindness to you through Jesus.
The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.